Thank you so much for sharing. God bless you. Well, I've got a bit of an, please do grab a seat. I've got a bit of an upside down sermon. It's a killer passage, isn't it? It's such a good passage. And we will get to it, but we're going to start somewhere different. I wonder if anybody here likes cooking. Does anybody like to cook or make things in the kitchen? I'll extend that to putting a microwave thing in the microwave. Sourcing your own food. I think with cooking, there are two types of people, okay? I think there are, this goes to the chefs in here and also those who are on the microwave meals. There are the instruction followers and there are the freestylers. The instruction followers and the freestylers. So whether you follow a recipe or the stuff on the packet, do you ever have to go back to the bin to see how long it is? Get the packet out of the bin? Oh, 8 minutes. Yeah. So hands up if you're an instruction follower, recipe follower. Hands up if you're a freestyler. Oh yeah, okay. Bit of this, bit of that. Salt bay, like this. I love cooking. I love cooking. I think I'm probably a recipe follower with a bit of freestyling around the edges, but I like to put on my Arsenal podcast and chop on my veg, get everything ready, cook nice and leisurely. It doesn't happen so often now with the boys, but I do love cooking. But I think that prayer, here's the segue, I think that prayer is a bit like that, a bit like cooking. I think there are two types of praying. You can pray with instructions, pray with a recipe, praying set prayers, prayers laid out for us, prayers with structure. And there are the freestyle prayers, the prayers that we make it up as we go along, and we're feeling our way through. So when we have prayers with instructions, we are probably quite familiar with those. There are lots of famous ones out there. There's the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father, as Catholics call it. They also have the Hail Mary. I went to a Catholic school, I'd say the Hail Mary every day at school. We have the Common Book of Prayer. We have a more modern iteration, might be Lectio 365. Does anyone listen to that app? Very good morning devotional app. They now have a midday and an evening prayer on there as well. But we also have the freestyle prayers, which we're all familiar with, the prayers that we often do in this church. We've just heard a few freestyle prayers from Linda and Naria. You may have done one in your mind. We do that in our morning prayer on Zoom, 8 to 8.30 every morning, Monday to Friday. You're welcome to join us for that. And in our midweek groups, we do this kind of freestyling our prayer. And that's really important. It shows that we have connection and communion with God. We can pray from our heart because Jesus has made a way for us to enter in and have a relationship with Jesus. And our prayers can be long and clever and full of theological language or old style language, and that's absolutely brilliant. And they can also be irreverent and simple as Jesus, help. Or, Lord, please let there be a parking space. Or, please let no one be sitting next to me on the bus today. Anybody pray that prayer? Yeah. No, just me. So, I wonder, opening, star for 10. How do you relate to these different types of prayer? Which type of prayer do you enjoy the most? Do you like reading a prayer, being read a prayer, making up a prayer? Are you a freestyle prayer or a recipe prayer? Just chat to someone next to you, and a bonus question, which kind of prayer do you think Jesus likes the most? So let's throw those questions around, talk to someone near you, or reflect on your own. You've got 2 minutes.
Shoot.
Okay. I start to draw you back in. I'm sure we've got a whole range of answers in this place, and the good news is that it doesn't matter. The prayers of the saints will be collected in heaven. We read that in Revelation chapter 5. The prayers of the saints will be collected in heaven and poured out over all of the new creation. And Jesus is kind. He listens to us. He's certainly big enough to meet us in the ways that we approach him. I think it's helpful to have structure. It's helpful to have inspiration. And it's also a gift to be able to express ourselves freely and honestly to the Lord. There's a really good phrase that Pete Gregg uses, the 24/7 prayer guys, with prayer. They say, keep it real, keep it going up. I should have written it down. Keep it real, keep it going, keep it simple. Keep it real, keep it going, keep it simple. We need to be honest to God. Our prayers should be simple, and we need to just keep on praying, keep on keeping on. Well, we are in a series called Lessons in Prayer. Lessons in Prayer, a journey through the prayers in Scripture. The Bible is stacked full of prayers. Prayers of the saints through time and space. And it's really good for us to learn and listen and sit in the prayers in Scripture to learn how we can pray and to help us to pray ourselves. I chose this sermon series. I wanted to give the preachers the chance to choose their own prayer in the Bible. And I wanted this to help us grow in our prayer lives, to help us enlarge our prayers. Often our prayers can be quite small. To be inspired by the way that prayers are prayed, to grow in our relationship with Jesus, or simply to understand the power of prayer, the breadth of prayer, and the importance of prayer. And we're going to look at Psalm 91 today, which is a beautiful prayer in the Bible. But there were so many to choose from. I was close to going with Nehemiah chapter 1, which is a beautiful prayer. But I wanted to pick a psalm, because the psalms are kind of the OG prayer book, the original prayer book, the first of its kind. An incredible collection of poems, prayers, and songs that cover the full range of the human experience and the full range of human emotion in our fragility, in our joy, in our highest and lowest moments. Jonathan David Helser, who's a songwriter, I don't know if he originally said this, he wrote No Longer Slaves and Raise a Hallelujah, but I heard him say this on a podcast, I thought it was amazing, that the Psalms are a well-worn path to the heart of God. It's a beautiful sentence, isn't it? A well-worn path to the heart of God. And the Psalms, if I asked you if Jesus would have prayed set prayers or freestyled it, the majority of Jesus' prayers in the Gospel reference Psalms. He's quoting Psalms all through Scripture. It's the book of the Bible that he quotes from the most. Because in first century Judaism, the Psalms were used as a daily prayer. They were the core and central moment of the synagogue and temple worship. The Psalms were memorized, sung, and prayed by Jews each day, whether at home or in the synagogue or in their pilgrimages and to festivals. It's almost certain that this is true of Jesus, a faithful follower of the Jewish traditions. So I think it's important for us to pay attention to this, thinking about the Psalms. How do we interact and engage with the Psalms ourselves? The Psalms were the prayers and the songs that maybe shaped Jesus' soul. I think there's evidence for that in the way that he would pray them often. You could say they were the soundtrack of his inner life, and we see this through the Gospels. When Jesus celebrated, he sang psalms. When he suffered, he cried psalms. And when he hung on the cross, the psalms produced words that came out of his mouth. The book of Psalms, also known as the Psalter, seems to shape how Jesus spoke to God in praise, in lament, and communicating how we trusted him. And I want to suggest today that the Psalms, as a tool for our worship, discipleship, and prayer, can radically transform our inner life. It's such a rich book, an incredible book that I think we should be in every single day. When we pray the Psalms, we're not just reading ancient poetry, we're joining Jesus in the prayers that shaped his heart and the prayers he used to talk to God. And it's a way of stepping into Jesus' rhythm of life and letting those words in the Psalms train our hearts in trust, in hope, and in love. the Psalms were called by Thomas Merton, uniting human and divine voices, as we see these amazing emotions communicated in the Psalms, and it's combining kind of human and divine voices. So there's a bit of information for you there, so I'm going to let you talk again. What do you think I mean when I use the phrase praying the Psalms, or thinking about that idea of praying the Psalms? What does that mean to you? Do you ever do that? What do you think it looks like to pray the Psalms practically? Just talk about that for 1 minute with someone, or reflect on it. Go. Well, in some ways, that's a really simple question. In other ways, that's a very complicated question. Prayer, it goes back to the question of what is prayer? You know, prayer is connection with Jesus. It's an expression of our relationship with Him. It's how we communicate to the Lord. And how do we use the Psalms to pray to God? And the way that I do it is probably different to the way that you do it. I don't know, prayer is personal as well. So what I'd like to do from here on in, I wanted to say a few more things about the Psalms, talk briefly about some tools that we can use, think about the Psalms of Lament. And then as we close, I just want to tell a quick story and then pray Psalm 91 together. Is that all right? So praying the Psalms being a way that we can present our full selves to Jesus as we use the words of people expressing the joys and the sorrows of life, as I've said before, this well-worn path to the heart of God. I had a mentor in London. There's a guy called David Vincent. He's an incredible man. He does lots of prayer stuff around the UK now. And he has this incredible relationship with Jesus. And he would say to me and challenge me, to Luke, how can you weave the Psalms into your everyday existence? He said, every time I walk up the stairs, I ascend the hill of the Lord. As I walk up every staircase, thinking, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Lord, purify my heart, clean my hands. He said, every time he goes to walk his dog and he steps through the gate of the park, he says, Lord, you have brought me into a spacious place. And he prays, Jesus, take me to a spacious place as I walk with you today. Every time he sits down for a meal, he says, may I taste and see that you are good. May I taste and see that the Lord is good in everything I have. When he's struggling, or when he sees a sheep on his walks, Lord, you are my shepherd. In you I lack nothing. When he pours himself a drink, Jesus, help remind me that my cup with you overflows. And then he pours so much and he spills his cup every time. He doesn't do that. When he's waiting for a bus or in the supermarket, he says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And when he wakes up in the morning, he says, awake my soul. Awake my soul to praise you today, Jesus. And that was how he wrote. He used the Psalms and he weaved them through his day. I wonder if that's something you could look at. So I just want to quickly speak on, you know, there's the joyful psalms, the hopeful psalms, and I've picked a pretty hopeful and joyful psalm today, Psalm 91. But there are the trickier psalms, the psalms of lament, the psalms declaring sadness, injustice, like hopelessness. What do we do with these psalms? Why are they in the Bible? These psalms enable us to speak honestly to the Lord. We can say things like, "My soul, why are you downcast?" The beauty in these psalms is the honesty and the reality of them. Keep it real, as I mentioned earlier. It displays the human existence without shying away from the reality that we experience. But it is crazy when you read some of these psalms. It's bordering on scandalous, some of the things that the psalmists write to the Lord. Psalm 88, for example, it says these words: "You have put me in the lowest pit. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all of your waves. I am confined and cannot escape. Is your love declared in the grave? Your faithfulness in destruction? Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? Darkness is my closest friend." That's a pretty outrageous thing to say to God, right? "You have done this to me. You have put this in me. You have done this." But what does this lament communicate about our relationship with God? Walter Brueggemann calls it a covenant dialogue. A covenant dialogue. A covenant is a relationship that goes beyond a friendship that we might have, but it's a relationship put together with vows, an extremely close bond that is full of unconditional love and faithfulness. And David is able to communicate to God this way because he has the security of a faithful God. He knows he's not going to turn away from David, and he knows he has the safety to tell him exactly how he really feels. You may have had the worst week of your life this week. Some horrible stuff going on, some really personal stuff, some stuff might have all fallen apart this week. You come through the doors, you may be here for the first time, and someone's come up to you full of joy, maybe Faustina, full of joy. "Welcome to church, it's so good to see you. How are you? Are you going to tell Faustina that your life is crumbling?" Probably not. You are not in relationship, covenant relationship with Faustina. Probably not going to do that. There are conversations I can have with my wife that I will not have with you, because we are not in a covenant relationship. But we are in a covenant with God. And David is in a covenant with God. And when we read these psalms, it speaks of the security that he has in that relationship. It's a beautiful thing. And the psalms, they name the gap between the reality that we experience and the truth that we know and hold dear about who God is. And we're calling it into being. Someone called it a faithful protest. The Psalms of Lament are a faithful protest. Psalms are precious, and we pray them with vulnerability and security of our covenant relationship. So let's get to the good stuff. Psalm 91. Now, in the same way that the lament psalms can be challenging, I think this kind of psalm can be incredibly challenging. Psalm 91. Let's have a think about what's being said here. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Is this a prayer? Is this the start of a prayer? Is it a song? Is it a poem? This psalm is declaring the truth of God's character. But sometimes we declare that in faith, not necessarily through our lived experience of what's going on in our world. Because I'm curious about the certainty of the language in this psalm. Let's have a look at this bit, verse 9 and 10. "If you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." That's not true, is it? Is that true? Maybe I haven't said the Lord is my refuge with enough faith. Because this morning when Isaac headbutted me below the belt, it definitely felt like harm was overtaking my body. But I have. have definitely said the Lord is my refuge. So, anyone stubbed their toe this week? Is the Lord your refuge? Ha. Huh. So what's going on here? What's going on? Now, the reason I picked this psalm is because of what happened on Tuesday. So on Tuesday, the team in this church, we meet to pray and worship together. And praise the Lord, our team is growing. We have Reverend Washira. Next week, you're going to meet Reverend Al Monday, who is also joining us as a trainee, vicar, a curate. We gather in this bit, the chancel, I believe is the official term, behind the altar, and we worship together, we sing and we pray. And this week, Reverend Al was leading us, and he said to Victor, I'd love if we could pray for Nigeria. Nigeria's been in the news a lot, it's been all over social media, there's been sincere persecution, awful, tragic persecution on a huge scale, and it's starting to get some media coverage, even though it's been going on for years and years. And we wanted to recognize it, worship, stand with Victor, pray together, pray over Nigeria. And as we were, I'm going to mention what's going on. I'm going to mention the genocide just as a trigger warning. If you need to leave or take some space, it's absolutely fine. But as we were praying and singing, I felt really led to Psalm 91. I felt really led by the Spirit to Psalm 91. And so we were singing, and Victor was telling us stories of what's happening, what's his experience been, what are the stories that he's heard, stories of groups going to villages and desecrating them, dragging people out of their homes whilst they're praying, finding Christians and executing them. And we were singing and praying over this situation, and I'm reading Psalm 91. I'm reading these words. You know, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. God will protect you. And I had this image, this awful image, ingrained in my head of I was picturing a woman kneeling down and holding a loved one who had been taken from her, just crying, screaming, crying out in anguish, just the full depths of the tragedy of the situation pouring out of her. Places on fire, screaming, you know, terrible, terrible scene. And I was trying to read these words and I just couldn't do it. How can you read these words? I was imagining someone inviting her to read these words. Or just how patronizing would it be to say, well, let's just read Psalm 91 in this moment. And it was awful, and I was kind of praying, God, why? How? What's happening here? How does this work? And you know, I said this amazing, the image kind of changed in my mind, and I felt the Lord show me the spiritual dynamics at play. And I just saw in my mind's eye, and whether this is exactly what happens or not, but the image I had was of angels surrounding this woman as she's kneeling on the floor, angels all around. And in this scene of chaos and evil, there's the fire, and I could imagine just evil figures kind of trying to get at her. But the angels giving her this moment of grief, giving her this moment to express her feelings. And the mercy of the Lord, I just felt the Lord say to me, my mercy is to allow her to scream at me, why? How could you let this happen? Jesus, what are you doing? And his mercy was to give her that moment of grief and sorrow, that God is with us in the pain, that his refuge doesn't always look like what we want it to look like, but that his presence is so powerful. And I was completely undone by that, and I don't have the answers, and I know that it's highly emotive imagery that I'm using, and I'm really sorry if that's difficult. But in the darkness, in the darkest of times, the light of Jesus cannot be overcome. cannot be overcome. And I pray that we would have eyes to see the angel armies all around us, like we read in 2 Kings chapter 6, as Elisha opened the eyes of his servant who saw in the midst of battle hillsides full of angels, that the Lord is with us. So to close, before we break bread together, remembering the ultimate sacrifice and our ultimate assurance which lies in Jesus Christ, I'd love us to just sit and dwell in the shelter of the Most High through this psalm. If you have a Bible with you, you might want to read along in the Bible as we pray through it. It will be on the screen. Or you may want to close your eyes. I believe that praying the psalms, it's not just an exercise of mapping our experiences onto David's, but it's an invitation to pray through our emotions, pray for those all around us with Jesus, enabling him to reveal himself to us in the pain of our everyday existence and the pain of those around the world. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. God, you promised to send us an advocate to be with us, to illuminate the scriptures to us, to show us who you are, to speak the words of God the Father to us. Lord, would you fill our hearts and minds now as we read your scripture. Jesus, we want to dwell in the shelter of the Most High. We want to rest in the shadow of your wings. Almighty God, El Shaddai, the God of thunder, we rest under your power. We dwell with you now. Jesus, we want to be in full communion with you. We say, Jesus, that you are our refuge. You are our fortress. You are our God. We trust in you. Jesus, you will save us from the things that we face. Jesus, we pray for those who are facing traps. We pray particularly for those in Nigeria. We pray for other nations, those in conflict. We pray for Israel, Lord. Would you protect us from the foulest snare, from deadly pestilence? Lord, cover us with your wings. Help us to find refuge. Help those who are feeling alone find refuge. May your faithfulness be our shield, Jesus, may our fortress. Jesus, we pray for those who are scared. We pray for those who have fear of their safety, fear of the night, fear of darkness, fear of plagues. And we speak your peace now, Jesus. Prince of Peace, come into those lives. Come and invade. Come and rest on us. We breathe in your peace. We breathe out the fear that does not come from you. Lord Jesus, where we're scared because we see many, many awful things. We see people falling. We see people passing on. Jesus, we pray that that would not happen to us or the ones that we love or those who are most vulnerable. Jesus, that is not your will or your desire. Lord, give us the faith to pray, the Lord is my refuge, when we feel insecure, when we feel unsafe, when bad things are happening. Lord, help us to have the faith to pray, you are my refuge, you are my refuge. Jesus, give those who are in serious pain the faith to pray that prayer, the grace to pray that prayer, the mercy to pray that prayer. May you be their dwelling. May you be their indwelling, Jesus, and as they rest in you, may no harm overtake them and no disaster come near them, Jesus. May you command your angels to cover those who need you, Jesus. May you surround us with your angelic protection. Guard us in all our ways, Lord. Guard this church, this place, this house, Lord. May no weapon formed against this house stand, because the Jesus Christ, the living God, lives here. May his angels protect this space. Lord, may you go with us, even in the face of incredible danger, in the face of the lion, the cobra, whatever the modern day equivalent might be, or the English equivalent. Jesus, we pray protection, that we would overcome those dangers, the great lion and the serpent. Jesus, I pray that our young people would overcome the dangers online, the wolves that prowl around, Jesus. We pray protection, Lord, that they would trample those things. And Jesus, may our love for you be the thing that you remember. May you remember us and rescue us and protect us as we acknowledge your name. And the Christians all around the world, especially those in persecuted nations, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that it's true that when we call, you answer. When we call, you answer, Jesus. That is in your nature. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you for that. Lord, we honor you. We honor your name. We honor your name now, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You have given us salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, our ultimate assurance and our ultimate refuge. And Jesus, as we come and we share the bread and the wine, would the joy of our salvation be made complete in our hearts, that we may walk out and face the lion and the cobra with that full assurance, that blessed assurance that Jesus Christ has given us the resurrection life that he promised. Fill us up, Lord, and send us out that we may speak of that resurrection hope to all that we encounter, that as we dwell in the shelter of the Most High God, we will be emboldened to go and share that great joy with everyone we meet. And we pray all these things in your precious name.